you're going to be talking to us about, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So let's go for it.
Indeed. So I will be talking to you about feedback. Now, what is feedback? It is telling someone what you think about something that they have or haven't done. It can be a praise or a criticism. Where do we encounter feedback? In tech, a very common place is pull requests. So people leave feedback on your code, they make suggestions for improvements, and help you catch buggy code before it makes it to production. And more generally at work, 360s is probably where you do encounter feedback. And that is the twice a year, ask your colleagues for feedback thing. But also you can give feedback day to day if needed. Why do we want to give feedback? To produce better work as a team, to help others grow, and to get what you really, really want. Who can give feedback? Anyone can give feedback. Generally, feedback comes from peers or a line manager, but it can go up the hierarchy, so to speak. My workplace does peak on surveys. Yours probably does something similar. Having said this, you may want to exercise caution or how you phrase things if you do feed up the chain. When do we give feedback? It's important to give feedback in a timely fashion, and that means sometimes as soon as possible. And this applies especially to things that need urgent and immediate change. But sometimes you want to wait until you have enough evidence that something is or isn't happening. Now, how can we give feedback in pull requests? I recommend conventional comments framework. The idea is that you put a word or two in square brackets before your comment to convey the tone. Observation, question, blocker, typo are examples of words that I've used in the past. And you'd be really surprised on how much difference this makes to set the frame of mind of the receiver. And how do we give feedback on actions and behaviors? I've encountered two models. The first one is called AID model, and that stands for action, impact, desired behavior. The second model is called nonviolent communication model. And there you make an observation, you state your feelings, you state your needs, and then make a request. Overall, the two are much of a muchness. They both rely on the same key points. It's just sort of described differently depending on which one you look at. You start by giving specific examples of things that happened. You want to avoid words like always or never. So if you're frustrated with a colleague because they always do something wrong, you may think to yourself, well, this person does this task every week, and they've done it wrong last week. But before then, what were the other two instances? And if you discover that actually it was 6 months ago and a year ago, then it's not always they're doing something wrong. You're just a bit frustrated, and it may be a good idea to relax and take it easy. The next thing is the impact. And that might require introspection, and it can be really tricky to figure out what exactly are your feelings, what exactly are your needs, what is the short and long-term impact on the team. It does require time, and it is okay to just sit and try to ask yourself why, to get to the crux of what's the impact of the behavior that you're seeing. And the final step is to tell them either to continue doing what they are doing or what you want them to do in the future. And you want to provide links to specific resources or approaches they could take. If that they've got stuck on a particular conversation, you can provide examples of dialogue on how to handle things in the future. I'm going to give you a successful example of when I gave feedback to somebody, it was taken in and, they started doing what I really, really wanted. So I had a colleague who, when they asked for help via Slack, they treated it as a real-time conversation. They wrote hello and then waited for my reply. Then got a, can you help me? Waited for a reply. And that was a bit frustrating, a bit of a context switching for me. So I took opportunity of the 360 and sent the feedback to their manager that later got passed on. And the feedback read, what I would like to see as a single message. Hello, I was wondering if you'd have a moment to help me with X. When I do A, I expect B to happen, but C happens instead. I tried O, P, and Q to debug this, but I'm not sure what I can try next. Now, this worked wonderfully, and the person who I gave this feedback to has been doing this consistently. And I'm pretty sure that's been getting them much better results to get the quality help that they're after. I guess I could have improved the feedback by adding the impact on it had on me, but in this specific case, I didn't feel it was particularly necessary. However, you can also give bad feedback. So I recommend strongly that you draft feedback and double check it before sending off or delivering it. Feedback can be strongly subjective. So in the same round of 360 feedback, I got two pieces of feedback. One said, oh, I love how Anya always gives in detailed information as to what she's working on. It always makes me like, I know why that needs to be done and what problems she's encountering. And as you can imagine, the second piece of feedback was, she always talks too much at stand-ups. Now, the result of that is that I kind of ignored the second one because it didn't really come with desired behavior. So, you know, that's why you need to make clear the desired behavior. And that's my next point. If you give feedback without clear desired behavior, that's crap feedback. Because take for example, somebody wrote a PR, you tell them, oh, you need to make some changes, but don't actually specify what you want. That can leave them quite confused and quite lost as to what they can try next and what is it actually that you want them to do. And now we're getting into like really bad territory that you really should avoid. Feedback can be ableist. So if you complain about lack of eye contact or camera being off or fidgeting, ask yourself, why is it bothering you so much? And figure out whether actually it is a big of a problem. Feedback, unfortunately, can also be sexist. I've definitely heard of instances of women being called bossy when a man would be called assertive. You know, if you're asking a woman to soften the tone, then you might want to figure out what, you know, if there are better ways of trying to convey what we actually need. And it's worth mentioning that feedback can unfortunately be racist as well. So if somebody makes a comment about unprofessional hairstyle and the receiver of said feedback has coily hair, well, it's not great. Don't do it. That brings me on to my next point. Don't be mean or nasty, especially when negative feedback. The person receiving feedback can feel very vulnerable. And you should definitely not be cruel and avoid punching down. Feedback is there to help others grow and not feel rubbish about themselves. An important thing to remember is do not be vague. It is common to deliver feedback in a soft and roundabout fashion with vague comments like, oh, that's a bit unusual, or if I was doing it, I would do it differently. And this puts the responsibility on the other person to try to read your mind and act on what they think you want. If you want something, tell them outright. Outline the consequences, if there are any, especially if it means them being put on a performance improvement plan or failing their probation. In summary, when giving feedback, be kind, use specific examples, explain the impact, and describe desired change in explicit and unambiguous way. Although I can't guarantee that giving feedback will always work for you, it's a good shot at getting what you really, really want. Thank you.